You're listening to YahvehYahweh.name on the Internet. Shalom again. I'm Stefan Yah, and praise Yah. May it all be a blessing to the Almighty Father, Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and His Son, the Creator of all heaven and earth, according to the Scriptures, and many continual references to the Son as well, because of the book of Isaiah that explains that the Father's name. And he is the spokesman for the Father. We hear from the Son all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Most quotations here are from the King James Version, restoring the common words and getting away from a few pagan words. And at times we'll be reading from the TLV, or the Tree of Life. Out of Rome, can any good thing come out of Rome? Well, if it's from Rome, Georgia, I suspect so. It's a very wonderful blessings in that TLV version. And in the past, we've talked about bearing fruit. In this podcast, broadcast, it's about high time we've obeyed Yahweh. Now, there's a lot more to that. A lot more as we go into Malachi 3:18. And then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. So that discernment comes through the hearing of the word. Faith comes by hearing, or our belief, our faith comes by hearing the word and hearing from the word of Yahweh. When you hear those pages turn, you can't really hear him that well on our Yahweh microphones, but anyway, hope you can hear them, and as well as yourself, to hear the pages turn of Scripture. I don't know. It's just something about it, of when we don't hear the pages turn, or just using a smartphone or something, it's still the same, but it just seems different to me anyway. So Malachi 3:18 we read, and then to Leviticus 20, and you shall be separate unto me. So in Vayikra, Leviticus 20:26, and you shall be kodesh, or separate unto me, for I, Yahweh, am separate, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. I have separated you from the peoples to be mine. Now, we have the Torah. There's Bereshit or Genesis, Exodus or Shemot, and Leviticus, Numbers, and Devarim or Deuteronomy. And the purpose of the Torah is our good works. It is the standard to which we, Yahweh's standard, and the Son, to which we adhere to, and it's just because it's our reasonable, not our unreasonable, but it's our reasonable service. Ephesians 8, wait a minute, I put 8 verse 10, that's way wrong. If you see that on the internet, I have Ephesians 8:10. There is no Ephesians chapter 8, it's Ephesians 2:10, that for by faith are we saved through unmerited favor, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of Yahweh. By faith are we saved, and not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created into Messiah, into to good works, is how that reads. And to convince us of sin and our need to repent, we read the Torah, the standard, which is the way of life. The Torah is a blessing, and to all he keep his word with a pure heart. Blessed are the undefiled who walk not in the way of unrighteousness. and for those who love the Torah. Psalm chapter 1, Tehillim chapter 1, for those who love Yahweh's Torah. And in the New Testament as well, we have 1,000 commands. That's 1,050. But some say that they only have to love Yahweh and our neighbor, and they don't want to define the word love. And then when you do define it to them, then it's not love anymore. If you tell what the word means, then it doesn't mean what it means. But that's what they say. But to love the Father and the neighbor is paramount, of course. So is the Torah only there to put us under his authority? Well, it's our covenant relationship. It is the defining of love and defining of sin. So it's not there really to condemn us, because that was the certificate of indebtedness that was against us. That was the added law, the temple sacrifices and the the death penalty. Okay, is it not Yahweh's standard, those Ten Commandments and the statutes and judgments? Over and over and over, we see the phrase or the idiom, commandments, statutes, and judgments. Commandments, statutes, and judgments, referring mainly to what? To our love, to our obedience, to things that are forbidden, and that define righteousness, that define what unrighteousness is. And he said he has separated us from the peoples to be his. Also, that was a quote from the Hallelujah Scriptures, by the way, which is another wonderful version, the Hallelujah Scriptures. So the Torah is there as a blessing, as a guide, as a light. Yahweh's word is a light, and it is a standard. It is our good works, and it doesn't save us. It's a proof of our love when we obey the law, which is not easy without the Spirit. Now let's read this here. It's in the Greek, and I think this should be 1 John chapter 5. What is love? By this test, in 1 John 5, by this test we know that we love the children of Yah when we love Yah and keep his commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, or precepts, or law. The Greek word there in Nomos in 1785, and his commandments are not burdensome or grievous. Greek, in the concordance, Greek 9:26. The scriptural feasts are a blessing. Man's Halloween, man's holidays, and Halloween and New Year's and Easter are a curse, defined by Jeremiah 10, Galatians 4, the idolatrous abominations and resultant curses. But Yahweh's feasts are blessed and beautiful. They are pure. It says over and over in Tehillim or Psalm 119 that his law and his commandments, his statutes and judgments are so pure, such a blessing. And they are forever. The word forever means forever. But some of those who oppose the feast days, they may not understand, but in Zephaniah 3:18, I came to an understanding of this verse in Zephaniah 3:18. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly. Now that describes a lot of Christianity today. They're sorrowful about the feast days. In another version, the Tree of Life, it says, I will gather those among you who grieve over your Moedim. It is a burden of shame on you. Once again, Zephaniah 3:18. In the King James, it says, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, the Hebrew word Moedim, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Yeah, those that are sorrowful, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden? Well, we just read in 1 John that it was not a burden. His commandments are not a burden or grievance. They're not burdensome. So who are we going to believe? Huh? Are we going to believe Satan, who says they are a burden, or someone who is imitating what's, or obeying what Satan tells them to do. But no, we're going to obey Yahweh, of course. We're his people. You love him, and you do keep his commandments. Well, we come short at times, and that's why we need Yahweh's righteousness, his spirit-wrought righteousness. But the invitation to the feast days, and to, as he beckons us to come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, just to come in during these set-apart special callings, no one will force us to do this. We're not going to be under the law, inheriting a curse, keeping Jewish or any other nationality feast days. But we don't want to be like the uninvited guests. We want to be like Yahweh's bride, those who are invited to the table and will not refuse. No one will force our arm and drag us to be at the feast days. If we learn to keep the Torah of love, we shall even know more than many teachers. Psalm 119, verse 99 says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. If we learn to keep Father's Torah of love and his divine or sublime appointments for a real separated convocation. And we're going up to Passover soon at this time, the Feast of Pesach or Passover, and it's going to be a beautiful 7 or 8 days. We'll probably keep the Passover Seder and memorial here at home. We're not going to try to imitate a Jewish or any other kind of Seder. We're just going to do it according to the Scriptures, Leviticus 23 and 1 Corinthians 5, and then in the book of John, we'll be using that that form. And we will even include in that the ordinance of foot washing. In Hebrews 4, we reaffirm the Sabbath day. Hebrews chapter 4, there therefore remains a rest to the people of Yahweh. He specifies a certain day, that seventh day, seventh with a capital S. He spoke not of another day. No, he didn't mention a Lord's Day or first day of the week as being anything of special value. Romans 8, 7. Now, those who reject Messiah and his word seem to be in rebellion. They are not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. And Isaiah 8, 19 and 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. Psalm 19, we could read all of it, but it says, the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul, converting the person. Back to Psalm 119, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes, for all thy commandments are righteous, or all thy commandments are righteousness. Every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. His commandments, statutes, and judgments. Yes, it's all specified yes, it's all in plain sight. It's all in the hearing of Yahweh's word that we live by faith. We live by faith in his word. And then we have this knowledge, this discernment, which comes from knowing Yahweh and living the word. So that's the first person, first purpose of the Torah. And the second purpose is that it is our compass. The term Torah, that law, or what's another word for it? Instruction, decree, our honey-do list. Yes, the Torah is our compass, and the very fact that you are messianic indicates that those who are messianic should believe in the Messiah, and they are grafted into the good olive tree, according to the book of Romans 11. Meanwhile, while the opponents of the law and the feast days attempt to demonize the teacher of truth and call themselves prophets, and they say a prophet can only be corrected by somebody who has equal or greater status. they're completely uncorrectable by most believers. And maybe they'll accuse the true teacher of having a religious spirit and the accuser of the brethren. The religious spirit is generally applied to anybody who attempts to ask questions or to oppose these teachers, these wells without water. The teacher becomes, that is, the righteous teacher becomes painted as somebody who is stuck in the old wineskins. Their lack of understanding of the Torah, of those who make these accusations, and their lack of understanding of Scripture is apparent. Why is Torah written in the Scriptures, and why is it falsely called old Jewish bondage? If we, the tribe of Ephraim, in the northern 10 tribes, if we reject Messiah and his law, then we are deserving of the results of the abominations. The Sabbath and the feast days are listed in the New Testament from Acts, Meiasa, to the book of the Revelation 30 times. There's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Atonement, the Sabbath days. Feast of Trumpets is found in Paul's writings in Thessalonians, but over 30 times that you can count that. And again, that Hebrews 4 states the seventh day is that specific Sabbath day of rest. Now, from the opponents of that eternal Torah love law regarding this that I've just talked about, 30 times in the from Acts to Revelation, we find the feast days and the Sabbath spoken of, but the answer from our opponents is only silence. If Yahweh were silent on this, then it would be justifiable to be silent. Yahweh has spoken loudly and clearly in the prophets and by his teachers and exhorters, pastors. He has spoken of his seventh-day Sabbath. And regarding that Sabbath day and all the Sabbath days, we could read in Zephaniah chapter 3. And this is from the King James Version, first of all. There's a word, moedim, that's in Hebrew here that the King James seems to overlook the meaning of that. But I'll leave it up to you to think about that. Zephaniah 3:18. Here we go now. The sound of turning of pages. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly. In the Tree of Life version, it qualifies that, I will gather those among you who grieve over your moedim. It is a burden of shame on you. So the moedim, feast days including that seventh-day Sabbath, for those who grieve over the Sabbath and think it's too much, just too much bondage to be able to go to the assembly for an hour and a half or so. Oh, but are we saved by it? We're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8. Only by that bloody offering on the tree at Calvary, on Calvary's tree by Messiah, can we be saved, it says in the Scriptures. Anyone who seeks to climb up to the sheepfold is both a thief and a robber. John chapter 10. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. If someone thinks that their covenant should be the standard, that their agreement, their relationship, their spiritual way of doing things as opposed to this religious way that they think it's terrible, but they're climbing up some other way. Yes, they want the unmerited favor of Yahweh. Yes, they want what they call grace, but they don't want his conditions. The question is, do you want his conditions? Do you want to be under the sovereignty of Yahweh and under his Torah? And the answer is a resounding yes. A resounding Hallel Yahweh. And we're covered by the blood of Messiah, who shed his blood at Calvary, and which we commemorate on this Passover. And after that, we press into the kingdom of Yahweh with all of our heart, soul, or all of our heart and spirit. We must be in a love covenant relationship with Him, with the true Messiah, the spokesman for the Scriptures, Genesis to Revelation. The true Messiah, it's spoken of His relationship that we agree to in Hebrews 8, verse 10, and also Jeremiah 31. I will make a covenant in those days with the house of Judah and the house of Israel. I will write my laws, or my Torah, not the temple laws, not the added laws, but I'll write my commandments, statutes, and judgments in their hearts, and their sins and iniquities I will forgive, and they'll be forgotten if we trust in Yahweh, if we trust by faith in His life-changing power and the ministry of Yahweh and trusting in the Word. If you love me, Messiah said it in John chapter 14 and also 15, verse 10, if you love me, keep my mitzvah, or keep my commandments. It's truly a matter of taking Yahweh and His Son at His word. If we would all hope and trust in the Scriptures as the first and last authority, we would be rooted, grounded, and settled forever in the faith that is true. If we all hope and trust in the Scriptures, are the Scriptures totally sufficient as they claim? If so, believing that, Yahweh gives us the appointed time for salvation and also a Sabbath invitation, a convocation to come and worship, to dine with Him at His table as the bride is with the bridegroom. Messiah is the bridegroom. And beginning the sundown after the sixth day of the week, right there at sundown actually begins His seventh-day Sabbath day, and by that we should have our dishwashing and car washing and even our own personal bathing, perhaps, if possible, accomplished, but certainly the food preparation. Even on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we are to have all those activities done there, and there are various interpretations of that, people thinking that they could go out and run down to the store and buy some lettuce and whip up a salad or something, but that's works. Yahweh said to not do those kind of works on His separated feast day. Don't do a business or transaction of any kind there on Yahweh's feast day. So we have to repent of breaking the law, and by breaking the law, I mean by breaking the Torah, by breaking His Sabbath day. For if we don't repent, and we continually break the Torah, it shows we don't have a repentant attitude. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Acts chapter 5, 29, and also in Mark, the last chapter, tells us to repent and be baptized, and be baptized in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach. So Acts 2:38 says, a well-quoted verse, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. So repent is the big R word there that is not spoken of that much. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Messiah for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as that Yahweh our Elohim shall call. And with many other words, Peter testified and exhorted, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, 3,000 bodies there. So we repent, we call upon the name of Yahweh, we become baptized, we go down into the water, and we come up out of the water, just as the Scripture said in the book of Acts. So in Maasa chapter 5 then, going up to 5, verse 29, Peter and the other apostles said, when they were forbidden to teach in his name, they said, we ought to obey Yahweh rather than men. The Elohim of our fathers in other words, Yahweh, raised up the son, whom you slew and hung on a tree. Him has Yahweh exalted with his right hand to be a prince, and with a capital P, and a savior with a capital S, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Thank you. I'd like to have your attention. Keep reading here. And the next one will be Isaiah, but I need to have your total attention now. Him is Yahweh exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Ruach HaKadosh, whom Yahweh has given to them that disobey him, or that obey him, actually. Oh, I can't believe. No. He's given to those that obey him. So this message here is called His Time to Obey. And of course, there's not a waiting period for that. We don't have to tarry for a while to see whether or not we start having the feeling that we need to obey. That, you know, if he doesn't give me the feeling, then do I think that, well, maybe he doesn't want me to repent yet. I have to wait until I get that feeling. I have to wait until he does some miracle for me. No, it's high time to obey as we come out of Babylon right now, as we obey his word. So that was in the book of Acts chapter 5, all about the name of Messiah and perfect obedience. Or at least that's our goal. He said, become perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. Oh, also in John, we'll be going to that. So I think we're going to go to John first of all. And, well, no, I guess going along with what I just said, what we just spoke of here, we could go to Isaiah 8:19 and 20. To the law, or rather to the Torah, and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. Further, if they speak only, this is my commentary here, if they speak only scholarly research, and there is no operation of the pure spirit, then we, or they, or some, do not have the spirit or the truth. One cannot have the spirit without the truth, without the obedience. James says, faith without works is dead, and he agrees with all of Scripture. And we read Acts 5:29, that the spirit is only ghost to those inhabits our praise if we obey him, and that includes a real dedicated heart, a real commitment and surrender. Yes, surrendering unto Yahweh, and he will give us the power to repent. Praise Yah, we're coming out of Babylon. So now we could go to the book of John. John chapter 15, please. That's the scripture that starts out with this in verse 1, and also found in Ezekiel 15. See, so it's there. The Messiah is found throughout the scripture for the unbelievers out there who don't believe in the Messiah. You could check out Ezekiel 15. He says, I am the true vine. T-R-U-E, the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit he takes away. So that could refer to a whole group of people or just to one person who doesn't bear fruit. Every branch in me that bears not fruit he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. So we really need to find out a whole lot more about abiding with him, if we don't, of course, know already. Verse 5, Messiah says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is casted forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And finally, the answer of why did Messiah live for us? And why did he die? And why was he resurrected? We find in Matthew that this purpose was for repentance, so we could be saved. Matthew 9:13. Yehoshua said, "But go and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know, the sacrifices were added due to transgression. Or at least the sin offerings were. I don't know about the praise offering. It's a reasonable service to obey him, and it might be our sacrifice to surrender to him, but it's not a really great sacrifice. It's more of a pleasure, and it's all about love when we surrender to Yahweh and keep his commandments. The book of Psalms has three scripture verses, at least. 34:18 in Psalms. Nigh unto them that are of broken heart. Yahweh is nigh unto them of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of Yahweh are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O Yah, thou wilt not despise. And Psalm 147:3. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. From Ezekiel 44:7, this should be quite a revelation here. And Ezekiel 44, in that you have brought into my set apart place strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my set apart place or sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. Then Leviticus 20:26, if you could flip back there. Messiah, once again, he says, and the Father says through him, and you shall be Kodesh, or separate unto me, for I, Yahweh, am separate, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. I have separated you from the peoples to be mine. And we read that earlier from Hallelujah Scriptures. So we're saved unto good works to convince us of sin and our need to repent. Remember that the Torah is a blessing. It's the standard. It's the way of life. It's our compass. And it is our love relationship to prove to Yahweh, as he tests us, that we'll keep his word with a pure heart. And in Hebrews, so up there in Hebrews now, chapter 5, that this has been strong meat today. And you can read about that in the next chapter, Hebrews 6, but in 5, verse 14, as we finish here, strong food belongs to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So there it is again, repeating the theme and that we started out with there. And by that power and conviction of the Ruach HaKadosh, that we will love him and keep his commandments, and that we not only feel, but we ought to obey Yahweh. Strong food belongs to them who are mature in Messiah and who are discerning both good and evil. We've been reading mostly from the King James, using a little bit of the Hallelujah Scriptures and the Tree of Life from Georgia, Rome, Georgia, that is. So something good came out of Rome. And their address is www.tlvbiblesociety.org. And now, it's my pleasure and thrill to tell you that the Tree of Life scriptures are now on sale there. And relatively, in my mind, it's a little bit spendy, but probably not really too much. And they're worth every centavo of that. So, and thanks for joining us today on Yahweh Yahweh. If you have any questions, please address them to me, Stefan Yah. My address is email address, StefanYah@YahwehYahweh.name. We shall return on the airwaves or out in cyberspace one of these days. And appreciate your encouragement via the or through the emails. And just like to hear from you, and you know, give us lots of contacts as you you know, push on those different files and buttons. And the more you do, the more we'll feel that you are interested in those things. Because we need to know where your interest really lies. Okay, where you need more encouragement. Or even more instruction, if I'm being of any help to you. Thanks a lot now, and have a good afternoon or evening. Buenas tardes. And oyasumi nasai. Have a good evening. That was how it is, yes. And shalom to each and every one of you around the world, whatever part of the world and what part of the day it is. Thanks for joining us here on this program. It's time to obey. Praise Yah.